If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 High FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be here again, talk with you, share ideas, and basically take a look at the events of the Jewish week, the events of the Jewish week as expounded by and in Torah. Because, as we say so often, Torah is the book of truth, the book of life, and our lives depend upon the Torah structure. And it's within Torah that we can find guidance, clarity, and purpose to the lives that we lead. And how much more so in the world that we live in today, a world that is filled with corruption and chaos and all sorts of negativity, one might become, God forbid, disillusioned. And this is why it's important to look into Torah, to understand that everything has a divine purpose, and we have to try to the best of our abilities to find that divine purpose. And in so doing, we become positive. And when we become positive, we become productive. And when we become productive, not only are we fulfilling ourselves, but in actual fact, fulfilling God's great desire that this world become a dwelling place for Him in every sense of the word. It's Shabbos Chazak. Tomorrow at Shul, at the conclusion of the Torah reading, we will all stand up and call out, Chazak, Chazak, v'nis chazek, be strong, and strengthen others, strengthen each other. And this is what Torah does. It creates a sense of inner strength and shared strength, something which is so vital and so important, once again, in the times that we live. But we are still very much in the period of Sfira, counting the Omer. And counting the Omer every single day, we take another intense look at the 49 levels of our character development, as well as God's manifestation into this world. There are 7 general links in the divine manifestation of how God chooses to bring about His presence in the world. And they are called the Sfirot. Similarly, within ourselves, we have 7 general character distinctions. And each one of those 7 is multiplied by 7 because it's a combination, a synthesis of each and every single possible dimension of the Sfirot and also our personal character development. And this is why each and every single week of the Omer period, we take a look at another dimension of divine presence as well as our character. And this week, we've entered the period of Yesod, which is bonding. Bonding, connecting to what? Connecting to whom? And we know that bonding is so important because without true bonding, we are, in a sense, on our own. In a sense, not only on our own, but unfulfilled, perhaps even to the worst degree, in a state of negativity. You probably remember in the book of Genesis, in the very first parsha, when God created man, there is an interesting note in Torah that God says it's not good for man to be on his own, and He therefore created a partner in Eve and Chava. And again, throughout the entire process of creation, as we read in the book of Genesis, every time God finished a day or saw something that He created, He said, and it was good. And good doesn't only mean in a sense of, well, everything is fine. Good means a sense of wholeness and completion. Things are good. And yet when it came to man, He said, it's not good, lo tov, it's not good for man to be on his own. In other words, a human being not only needs social interaction, but he needs an individual with whom he or she can bind themselves together. And this bonding is very profound. This bonding creates a unit creates a wholeness where a person feels a true sense of fulfillment, without which, without the bonding, without the other, a human being is incomplete. And being incomplete leads to a sense, well, of frustration, loneliness, and perhaps even a failure in life, that one remains incomplete. And similarly, on a higher level, on a divine level, we bond with the ultimate partner, with God. And not only do we bond with God, but He bonds with us, because we fulfill His purpose in this incredible creation that He brought into being. When we fulfill His will and create a dwelling place for Him here below, this is what God wants, and this is what God expects from us. We become complete, and in a sense, He becomes complete as well. This is how He created the world that we live in. But how do we achieve bonding? How do we achieve bonding with each other, with our life's partner, with God? What is required? What's the mechanism of achieving true yesod bonding? In order to have real bonding, there are two elements that are absolutely vital. Number one, wisdom, and number two, humility. Why wisdom? Because wisdom gives us the ability to understand, A, that we are not complete, and wisdom also gives us, in a sense, even the more important, to understand the other, their qualities, their purpose, and how they can become a life's partner. You know, we've often heard that ridiculous statement that I talk about, falling in love. Falling in love is the silliest statement in human relations. You fall, you hurt yourself. When you fall in love, love at first sight, these are meaningless terms. Love is a complicated and highly developed and richly rewarding feeling and emotion. But in order to have that type of result, you have to have wisdom. To look at your partner, to understand your partner, to know your partner, to know yourself. And similarly with God. We look around the world, and God's presence is not obvious. It takes wisdom and the effort of wisdom to understand the presence of God within the world, that He is the true and only Creator. And not only that, but to understand the concept of divine providence, that each and every single gesture, each and every single element, from the smallest to the greatest, is driven by God's incredible individual direction. The idea that every grain of sand, every grain of sand has a purpose, and God directs that purpose. It takes tremendous wisdom in order to understand that relationship, how God interacts with the world that He brought into being on a constant and eternal manner. But it also takes humility to know that you are incomplete. Very often, well, because of perhaps ignorance or arrogance, a person feels, I am complete. I am whole. It takes humility to know that you're not. It also takes humility to understand that the other completes your purpose in life, and you theirs. Wisdom and humility, those are the foundation stones of bonding. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about Yesod, bonding, both in human terms and in divine terms, and how to achieve that profound sense of wholeness and completion. But before that, Dischem Wellness Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here. And also, don't forget that Thursdays and Fridays means fresh magic at the Family Bakehouse. Golden challahs, babkas, biscuits, and cakes baked in small batches with no shortcuts. Perfect for Shabbat or the weekend. Find the Family Bakehouse at Genesis, Oroch's, and selected distribution centers. Yesod, bonding. Bonding is that incredible sense of becoming whole and complete. As man was created, God said it's not good for man to be on his own, because it was not good, it was not complete, it was not whole. He was a giant of a person, created by God himself, with so many qualities, in many ways almost the most perfect human creature. But at the same time, it was not good for him to be on his own. And he had to connect. And what does it take to connect? Wisdom and humility. Wisdom to understand the fact that you're on your own without a true bonding partner. And also wisdom to understand the qualities of that partner. Is that individual right for me? Is that individual something that I can truly develop a sense of wholeness, bring about completion in my life and in the life of the other? Wisdom. And similarly with God, it takes wisdom to recognize the presence of God in the world. It doesn't come easy. What we see is a natural order that hides the presence of a creator. And it takes wisdom and study and insight to recognize and realize that God created the world and continues to create the world with divine providence. He gives a purpose to each and every single element within creation. But once we know those things to a certain degree, once we understand the qualities of a partner, it takes humility, because humility enables us to allow something meaningful, purposeful, and equal into our lives. It takes tremendous wisdom. Is not enough. Knowledge is not enough. It takes humility. Developing a relationship is a process of growth, but with humility as well. The other is as important as I am. The other completes me as I complete the other. Humility on both parts. And similarly in the relationship with God. It takes humility to understand that without the presence of God within my being, I'm incomplete. And even though I might understand the purpose of his creation and to see God the Creator in action in the world, it takes humility to allow him to enter into our lives. It takes effort and humility. And similarly, God fulfills his purpose in this world through our bonding with him. And this is the week of bonding. This is the week that we can achieve those things if and truly we want to. We have to have wisdom, which takes effort and patience. We have to take humility, which means recognizing the absolute value of other, the absolute necessity of God's presence, and to allow those things to enter into our lives. And as mentioned earlier, the Shabbos is Shabbos Chazak, the double parsha of Bahar and Bechukotai, when we complete and conclude the book of Vayikra. And we discussed it. Vayikra is a very difficult part of God's Torah, complex laws, laws of holiness. The book of Vayikra, our sages tell us, is the most difficult portion of Torah. And when we conclude that, there's a tremendous strength of not only strength, but a tremendous sense of joy as well, that we've accomplished something extraordinary. We've accomplished the ability to fathom to a certain degree God's laws, difficult laws at times, complicated laws, laws of holiness, laws of purity, laws of impurity, and his presence in this world through the sacrifices in the temple and on the altar. And this is something that we have to understand. So when we call out Chazak tomorrow in Shul, it's Chazak of the most difficult portion in the Torah, which should give us a tremendous sense of purpose and a tremendous sense of joy. And the Parsha begins with the words that Bahar, these are the laws that were given to us at Mount Sinai. And the question is, which law does Torah enumerate? The law of Shemitah, the tithes, and Yovel, the Jubilee year. Complicated laws. And the commentaries ask the question, what does the laws of Shemitah and the Jubilee year have to do with, well, Sinai? To tell us that just as this law is given to us in great detail in the Parsha, so too every single mitzvah given to us at Sinai was given in great detail. But the question still remains, why the laws of, well, basically agriculture, why the laws of agriculture take such prominence that they become the law that is enumerated in Torah and becomes example for each and every other law? A great many answers. But perhaps the most obvious is that we mustn't forget agriculture was the primary employment of those days. That was what people did. And you think to yourself, we're talking about Mount Sinai. We're talking about God's great revelation in this world. Why connect it so incredibly closely with the laws of agriculture? How every 7 years is the seventh year of Shemitah, where you allow the field to rest, it becomes the Shabbos of the land. Couldn't we talk about some loftier mitzvah? And the answer is that ultimately God's purpose is, as in the words, "Bechol derechecha da'ehu," in all your ways shall you know him. Not only in spiritual matters, not only in lofty esoteric ideas, but practically here below in this physical world. When I till the land, when I plow the land, when I put seeds into the ground, when I harvest that which grows, it's precisely there that I must know God. And it's precisely there that I fulfill God's purpose on this earth. It's not enough, so to speak, live in heavenly realms. But it's here below, in this physical world, that we ultimately fulfill God's purpose. How I eat, how I walk, how I sleep, how I go about my everyday business, in every sense of the word, it's within the physical world. And this is why mitzvot are within this physical world, using physical objects that fill and made out of leather, delulav and etrog on Sukkot, etc., etc., etc. Each and every single mitzvah has a time and place structure within the physical world, because it's within the physical world that we fulfill God's purpose. And this is something which is so important for us to understand, because a great many people, unfortunately, kind of create a division between the ordinary and what they consider the holy. When they're in a holy atmosphere in shul, in a house of study, learning Torah, that's where God is. But not in the marketplace. Not where the physical world, in a sense, becomes so obvious and so powerful and so strong. Torah tells us just the opposite. It's within that physical world that we have to bring about the state of godliness, of clarity. Of course, in the prayer hall, in the study hall, it becomes so much easier. But that has to be translated into practical action in the physical world. And this is why commentary points out something which is quite beautiful. Why, in fact, if the Parsha is Bahar Sinai, we only use the first Bahar? Because Bahar Sinai reminds us that God gave the Torah on a mountain, but on a small mountain. In fact, the smallest of all mountains, which is, in a sense, humility. But very often, humility can be confused with weakness, with a lack of self-understanding, self-purpose. The parasha is called Behar, to emphasize the mountain dimension of it, a tremendous sense of pride. If you want to live in this physical world correctly, there has to be a tremendous sense that I am a mountain. I am strong, far stronger than I even imagine. But I have the strength of purpose and character to fulfill God's will, not only in the holy, secluded places, but within the physical world, within each and every single physical act. And this is so important for us to implement in our lives, this sense of Jewish pride. Jewish pride as it manifests in the observance of mitzvahs and the fulfillment of God's will within this physical world. And when we have that knowledge, the tochacha, the admonitions, those frightening, frightening punishments that God says can and will come upon us, we understand that ultimately, as our Kabbalists teach us again and again, they're in fact blessings. When there is the mountain dimension within ourselves, an inner strength, an inner purpose, an honesty that comes with wisdom and humility, we see that every single thing that happens in this world is ultimately for the benefit of the world and for the benefit of us. It might look a bit severe at the outset, but it's not. And this is why these two parshas come together in an incredibly strong way to remind us that if we follow the chukim of God, the irrational laws, with trust and faith and devotion and with effort, we will see blessing in everything. Even in challenging moments, even in challenging situations, because it needs the Bahar, it needs the mountain within us, the strength, the purpose, the pride, the ability to say, this is who I am, and I'm proud of who I am. By displaying this type of godly trust, of godly faith, we're able to overcome every single challenge of life. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about pride, the tremendous sense of pride, but how do we ensure that that pride doesn't become, in fact, a form of arrogance? But listen to this first. Are you looking to reach an engaged, loyal audience? There's no better place to do it than right here on High FM. Our listeners tune in every day for music, conversation, and news they can trust. When you advertise on High FM, you're not just buying airtime. You're becoming part of a community that genuinely listens. Whether you're a small business or an established brand, we'd love to have a conversation about how we can work together. WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. That's 061-895-1019. Or email us at info@highfm.com and we'll reach out to you. High FM, part of your day, every day. Oh, now listen to this. This Mother's Day, spoil mom properly at the Bakehouse Cafe. Join us for an incredible Mother's Day buffet packed with absolute delicious food, from fresh pastries and breakfast favorites such as salads, hot dishes, and so much more. It's only 250 Rand per person, and that includes cold drinks as well as a kids' area for the little ones. And honestly, the best food in town? Guaranteed. Bookings are essential. So WhatsApp Liat right now on 065-585-7223. That's 065-585-7223. And make this Mother's Day extra special at the Bakehouse Cafe. And finally, we want to hear from you. Chai FM is updating our voices of Chai, and we need your voice to do it. Send us a voice note, 30 seconds or less, and tell us why you're part of the Chai FM community. What keeps you listening? What does this station mean to you? Send your voice note to 061-895-1019. That's 061-895-1019. We can't wait to hear from you. So we're talking about bonding. We're talking about understanding that we have to fulfill God's will in this physical world. And one of the important components is true self-Jewish pride. And I ask the question, how can we ensure that this pride doesn't become a form of arrogance, which it can be, God forbid, if not handled correctly? And the answer, of course, comes back to what we said earlier on, the idea of wisdom and humility. When you apply your mind correctly to Torah, to the laws of Torah, and you understand it to the best of your ability, and you implement it as a physical action in personal life, that is the key to ensuring that the pride is a healthy pride. And this is why the second of this week's parshas begins with Bechukotai. If you will fulfill not only my laws generally, but those laws that are beyond understanding, super rational, because even though you may not, well, understand it on any level or only slightly, you have the trust and faith in Hashem that this is what he wants you to do. And while it may be, in your sense, completely irrational, it is the devotion to Hashem. God wants us to do this. And this is why our entire lives are directed and motivated by this incredible necessity, fulfilling the will of God. Wisdom, humility, resulting in tremendous, tremendous Jewish pride. But as we get to the Haftarah, and when these two parshiot of Bahar and Bechukotai come together, it's the Haftarah of Bechukotai. We hear a sad dimension. It's the prophet Jeremiah. And the prophet Jeremiah lived in extremely challenging times. Don't forget, Jeremiah is the one who keeps on warning the Jewish people of the impending destruction of the temple and the exile of the people. And it fell very often on deaf ears. He was humiliated. He was punished. He was laughed at. So many people didn't take him seriously. And he pleads with them. He pleads with them to please, please listen to the word of God. Listen to the word of Hashem. And so often they didn't. And we know the end result. Destruction and the diaspora. And this Haftarah talks to us about Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, sharing his feelings with us. He said, God is my rock and my strength. God, give me the ability to fulfill my duty as a prophet and talk to the people, and more importantly, that they should listen to me. And one of the things that he says is, how can man make a God when man himself is not a God? A little human being, a million little human beings, no matter how great you are, you're not a God. And yet you make gods, idols, things that you believe in. Man-made philosophies, man-made ideas, and they all crumble and fail. And they all ultimately bring about destruction. And he says to them, why not just go to God? Why do you have to create gods when you know it'll fail? Because with a simple reading of history, we've seen how those idols fell. We see how those man-made ideas and philosophies are ultimately just empty bags of wind. Why don't you believe in the eternal God? And at the end, he shares another feeling with us. He says, God, heal me. God, help me. And it becomes part of our daily prayer. God, help us and God, heal us. And this is a reminder that ultimately healing and true help can only come from a divine source. Healing presupposes illness. Illness is a situation of, well, challenge, difficulty, pain, suffering. Illness indicates that something is wrong with your life. Yirmiyahu is sharing these feelings. Call out to Hashem. Call out to Hashem and say, heal me. Heal me. Make me well so that I can fulfill my duties. And then help me. Because once I become well, very often I forget you. Help me remember you. And help me, once I am healed, to do that which is correct and that which is right, which is the second and very often the greater challenge. It's these 2 weeks' parshas that bring the book of Vayikra Leviticus to this grand finale when we call out Chazak, Chazak. It's a time that we have to understand that even the most difficult sections of Torah can be fathomed to a large degree. And we can understand God's divine laws. And even if we don't understand them, the ability to fulfill them. So when you're in shul tomorrow, call out Chazak with a strong and happy heart, with a sense of true pride that comes from wisdom and humility. Call it out loud. We should be strong. We should be strong and strengthen each other. This is something which will give us the strength to move on to the next section of Torah, to move on to the next section of life. It's two incredibly rich parshiot. And again, when you're in shul tomorrow, listen carefully to the parshiot. You'll find tremendous joy, tremendous purpose. You'll also find challenge when the reader, in an undertone, quickly goes through the tochacha, the admonitions, but listen to everything. And as I always say, something will resonate. And when it does, it'll open your eyes, it'll open your heart, it'll open your soul. It's a special Shabbos. It's a special Shabbos, so be in shul. Call out Chazak. Listen carefully. Good Shabbos.